The executive producer for this episode of Walnut Grovecast is Val Williams. Hello and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. For the next couple months, Walnut Grovecast is returning to a weekly schedule. Along with Walnut Grovecast, I am working hard to finish up episodes of Bonnet Heads and The Little House Book Club. Included in those side projects are more of your favorites, such as Wagon Talks, character discussions, interviews with cast members, and so much more. By now, you must have read Kelly Mielke's hilarious addition to the website, The Prairie Review. If not, please visit walnutgrovecast.com, and it's right there. It's right on top. As always, these shows and articles are not only free of charge, they are commercial free. I would like to thank the following supporters for making that possible. Michelle Ferguson, Aaron McManus, Chelsea Wofford, Marissa Baker, Brandon Letulier, Leah Chiapino, Cheryl Van Dusen, Thoy Rodriguez, Angie Zidava, Cheyenne Hampton, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind podcast, Laura Solarin, Dean Almanzo Butler, Spunky Cheek, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois Nishiyama, Melissa Halfpint Gilbert, Suzanne Holland, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV podcast, Michelle Tarrier, Brian C. Mellenbacher, Marianne Lockwood, Margaret LaVisca, Jennifer Jones, Julia Schroeder, Tanya Weber, Leah Chiapino, JJ Hurley, Elizabeth Villamagna, Robin Lee, Matilda Smith Thompson, Shannon Quinton, Lydia Kikuchi from Late Nights with Hitchcock podcast, Elvira Dabas, Candy Gleason, Megan Eichner, Kelly Mielke from the Dr. Quincast podcast, Alicia Olin, Rachel Boren, Stephanie Carnes, Julia Monin, the No Agenda podcast, Peyton England, Matthew Mercier, Stacey Keller, Bobby Young, Teresa Trapp, Jeannie Schneider-Mitchell, Max Duration, Katie Bollinger, Whitney Cole, Laura Furman, Val Williams, Ann Quinn, Jeannie Comer, Aaron Wortman, Don Roberts, Rebecca Harris, Sherry Benner, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, A Wonder Years podcast, Susan King, Jeff Griffin, Megan Parker, Brian Sellers, Stephanie Bailey, Andre Bjarkeson, Rhonda Ludwig, Stacey Corrigan, Whitney Griggs, Julia Jin, Jill Stellman, and finally Chris Cooling from the Forgotten TV podcast. Thank you all for your support. You make this podcast possible, and in my eyes, this is truly your podcast. So if you have any ideas, suggestions, please feel free to reach out. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. This is Mark, and you are listening to Walnut Grovecast. Today I have on joining me for a review, Lori Dorian. How are you doing, Lori?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking the time to pop on here and review an early episode, a very early episode.
Yeah.
This is, this is realistically early 70s.
It is, yes. In fact, I was 6 years old when this episode aired.
I was one, maybe. So
you were one. You didn't watch it.
No, I didn't. Maybe I did. I could have. I mean, maybe they just put me, you know, right. Like, here's your babysitter. You watch the babysitter.
Watch it. Yeah.
Watch it. Learn it. Be it.
Yeah. Learn you something.
But do you remember? Do you recall watching this? No way.
No, I don't recall watching this. Of course, it was probably a rerun of some sort that I watched, and I, you know, it was fine. But I do remember this episode.
Do you want to? Why don't you mention what episode we're talking about?
This episode we are talking about is called Mr. Edwards' Homecoming.
Woohoo! Mr. Edwards, Isaiah's in the town.
In the house, yeah.
He's like, where's the saloon?
In the town. In the barn, in the house, in the town.
Yeah.
That's right.
This is a very strange episode to me for a number of reasons, but it falls into a category of a very, very clean print when I watch it. Mm-hmm. There are shots that I can only compare it to. Sometimes you can watch silent movies and the prints are awful. Like if you look at early Houdini movies, you know, Houdini did a number of silent films. But if you also go and look at Charlie Chaplin's silent films, they're beautifully archived because Chaplin knew that these things would need some level of respect. And I guess the Houdini people didn't. And there's something about these, a few of these early shots that are just beautiful. And this particular episode just looks perfect.
It is. It's almost like a film. It's like a perfect film. It's like the sky is clean. The landscape is clean. All the scenes are clean. Exactly.
And it all flows. And it's not because of it being slick or clean, but the actual process, that maybe they used a special technique or the film was more expensive in the early days and they're thinking, all right, season two, we have to save some money.
Money, so we're just going to put it all into season one.
We're going to just take that money, float it into Michael Landon's bank account.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No,
it was his pet project.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that I found that was so strange about this episode is the fictional town of Mankato is the town that we're introduced to. And it's on the water.
it's very clearly on the water, right?
Right. I was expecting a canal or there. Like, is this Italy? Like, what is going on here?
Well, and what's funny is, you know, I was looking on IMDb because I like to look at the little fun facts. And I saw that they said that at one point you could see a palm tree.
Oh, really? And oh, yeah,
fact,
I can see it right now.
You can see it.
That's so funny.
It's very clearly there.
If somebody wants to play along, when it's on the credit of directed by Michael Landon, it's like dead center in the middle, like rising above one of the buildings.
Right, right.
I just took a screenshot. There. Wow. Oddly enough, yeah, I just happened to freeze frame on it. Wow.
And it's right there. You can't miss it.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's probably not even a real one.
If they didn't say that on IMDb, I would never have noticed that. Honestly, just watching it, it was so quick, probably.
I don't often use IMDb for their trivia because I find that a lot of it is false, I guess is the best word. So I do tend to ignore it. But yeah, this one is there. It's a fact.
It's right there. It's right there.
Mankato, you know, it does look like a big city to me.
It looks like a big city. It also looks like one of those amusement park cities. Like if you went to an amusement park where they had the old town and you went into the old town, everything looks just like you're walking around a pretend old town.
You just made me. Oh, yeah. All right. So if people go now, I'm just going to give them a plug because this is a great place right in New Jersey. WildWestCity.com.
And
I haven't been there in a really long time. And now I'm thinking, like, you know what? Maybe I need to go back there. You go there and you could dress the part and you walk around and it's kind of awesome in that sense.
It's an old-timey town.
Yeah, and right now they're doing the Haunted Wild West Fest because we are only a week from Halloween.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry. I'm just, like, flipping through here. I got to go here. I haven't been here since I was a kid, maybe.
We have zombie parks everywhere here in Ohio.
Oh, that's fun, too.
Yeah, I've never been to one, but they're just a huge thing.
Zombie parks. You mean year round or just in Halloween?
No, at Halloween. Yeah. Like our zoo has a water park next to it, so the water park turns into a zombie park.
But what's funny about this is, you know, I'm in the East, you know, but it's a Wild West city.
Yeah. Yes, that is weird.
Right.
That is really weird.
Yeah, that's you know what? That's the East Coast. We don't need the West Coast. We're going to recreate the West Coast.
Get your cowboy hat.
But here we are. This is our first clip. Charles is in the big city, and I'm just going to play this clip. It's just kind of fun to, I don't know, the whole thing. We're at the Mankato Freight Depot.
Yes.
I'll make out the invoice and then get this stuff aboard for you.
Fine, I'll be back in a little while, give you a hand loading up. I don't get to the big city too often. I want to pick up a little present for my wife.
We never know what that present ends up being, by the way. I mean, we know what he does.
Bring home. Mr. Edwards is the present.
You know what? That's it. He got derailed. He was going to go pick up some lemon verbena, and instead he brought home a stinky drunk.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, he's walking by. Also, it's Charles Ingalls who's in his, like, I'm just a farmer. I'm just a country boy. You know, I'm a dirt farmer. The way he's looking at people, because there are women holding umbrellas, and he's looking like, oh, my God, I can't believe somebody's holding an umbrella.
He's walking around like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen, and nodding at people. Right. Like, yeah. This is, oh, hello there to you, and hello there to you.
Look at them size of them windows. Yeah, he's just a country bumpkin.
Taking it in.
Yeah. I bet they even got chewing candy or gum. The only thing missing is like him having money pouring out of his pocket so that somebody can pickpocket him or something.
Oh my God. But yeah, the man is always poor, but yet he has money somehow. Oh yeah. Sometimes he does.
Yeah, sometimes he just has money to burn. I have to compare it, but these look like the same boots that he wore on a 100-mile walk. Which
Oh, what? But they had a hole in them.
Yeah, but what episode was the 100-mile walk? That was right before this one.
I think so.
Also, if you're playing along, this is season 1, episode 4. So, yeah, this is really, really early.
Yeah.
It does look like the same boots to me. I mean, of course, if he kept them, he would just have them resold.
Who's reselling boots in Walnut Grove?
The leatherer. Nels? The leatherer.
No, who's the leatherer?
I don't know. I don't think that's a job, really.
There's no leatherer.
Charles. He would be.
He fixes everything. You know, couldn't he fix his own booth before he took a walk?
He goes and he grabs some of Ma's old jerky, and he just sews it to the bottom of the
shoes. That's all right. All right. I'll take it.
And you have the dog kind of sniffing around. Yeah, it's beef after all. Yeah. We're also getting a really nice tracking shot here where I don't know. I'm going to assume they did this from a crane. The normal way would be to set up like a small train track type of thing and have the camera kind of go back and forth. But I don't think they would do that for this shot. But it's kind of a cool, smooth shot that we're getting.
Mm-hmm. Come on, step up and get your due. Come on, any two of you. Take on all of you. Come on. What are you waiting for?
Now, we know who that is right away, right?
Of course we do.
People are just watching him like he's a show.
He's going, wait a minute. Who is this? Right. What's going on? What's going on? Let me look.
I'm Charles Ingalls. I'm going to go in and see.
And he walks right through that crowd. Walks right through it.
He does. And, yeah, he walks right up front.
Yeah.
Edwards.
Come on.
It's a kind of a visual scene, but yeah, Charles is walking forward and everyone's like, who's this dummy?
Right. The chair like he's crazy.
Edwards?
Now, only Charles Ingalls would be able to stop this guy, right?
Right. This big, big man.
There's like 18 other people in the room. Nobody can stop him. But Charles Ingalls, he walks in, he just, you know, does.
Well, he looked into his eyes, you know.
Yeah. It's me, Ingalls.
Ingalls.
Oh.
My only friend.
Come on. So, yeah, he takes him out of there. Now, I did have a question, and you fulfilled this question. I was curious how old Victor French was in this episode.
Right.
You say he's 40.
He's 40. He looks like he's about 60, right?
Right. I mean, I'm 48.
Like, even if you took a beard off, like, he still looks like he'd be about 60 years old.
He's
only 40.
I mean, I'm 48, and I'm just thinking, I don't think I'm going to look this old in 10 years. I don't. I don't. And I just think it's crazy, but
yeah,
a hard life, maybe, you know.
I guess so. A hard life. And
living in Kansas.
He just looked the part. You never really know how old he's supposed to be in this show.
I don't necessarily think Victor French is a bad looking guy either. I think I think his look is very fitting to him. I think he's kind of a cool looking guy. I wouldn't say he's like the sex symbol of the show. He's no Dean Butler or a Michael Landon, but I don't know. I think that he just, especially in this episode, he's probably as slim as we see him.
Yeah, he doesn't
minus
even
the pilot.
He doesn't look like a heavy guy. He's just a burly.
Yeah, burly. That's it. That's
burly guy. He's a burly guy, but he looks like a woodsman.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy who wears flannel all the time.
The same flannel.
Yeah.
All the time.
I don't think it's the same flannel though.
I think it's the same shirt to the whole.
All right. Well, Well, you mean the whole series?
I feel like that's the same shirt. Sorry.
All right, Laura, you just challenged me. I mean, this is like saying like there are no ferns. You know, I just took a screenshot. It's the first screenshot, and now moving forward. One of the exciting things that this episode got me to really start paying attention to is Edward's backstory.
Yes.
Now, Kelly, Milky, and I are working on a project always, but it's really her idea to do these character discussions where we talk about the characters on the other podcast, Bonnet Heads. And so Edwards is going to be our next one. So I'm going to take a few clips from this particular episode and play it.
Uh-huh.
Because Edwards, you know, complicated guy. I would love to see a prequel to Edwards.
It would be cool.
Yeah,
it really would be.
To us, anyway. I don't know if it would be a success.
He's a deep character, and he lasts from the early episodes to then he kind of disappears to coming back. And
yeah, I mean, the guy is
then
lost.
Then he's there at the end, and it's like, it's kind of cool.
His
character is very deep.
By the time we get to season 9, he has lost a lot. I mean, if we're not even counting... the family that he lost before, you know, we got to meet him.
Right.
So he's had a lot of turmoil. Tumble, right?
Turmoil.
I'm thinking there's another word I'm thinking of. I don't know.
No?
But turmoil's fine. Tumble. Let's see, it's a Yiddish word, but I don't know. That might be me just cheating. But here we go. We're dumping
a lot of crap.
Yeah, a lot of crap. Exactly.
Yeah.
So Charles is dunking his head in the...
Dunking that head.
Yeah, into the horse's trough.
Yes.
And here we are.
I looked that up.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I think this is kind of a thing. You know, it's like you're kind of drunk. This will wake you up a little bit, sober you up.
Right, and I never knew, like, why that would do it. Like, they always said the cold shower... And this, and I looked it up, and it said it's supposed to trick your brain into forgetting your throbbing headache.
I didn't think you would have a headache.
And I don't know if that works, but it's supposed to, like, trick your brain into forgetting the other part of your body that is so dehydrated.
It's maybe that or a slap.
Something.
One more time.
That water does not look clean either. So.
It's a horse water.
Oh, wait, you know, I'm looking, it's the dock.
Is it? Oh, it's the dock. That's right. It's the dock because that's right. They're on the dock.
But how come we both thought it was the horse thing?
No, it's the dock. You're right.
Oh, I don't think that would be clean at all.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's either that or the horse water.
I don't know. I don't know which one I would prefer. Neither. I'll just skip the drink.
Neither. He's got to get his head dunked. Yeah. Whatever.
I'd just soon be drunk as drowned.
Right now, I'd say you're about half and half.
Oh.
We get kind of a younger sounding Charles Ingalls, too.
Uh-huh.
which his voice definitely gets a little bit more gravelly as time goes on. But just even listening to him now, he sounds kind of like a kid in this episode. A little bit.
I don't suppose you have a hair of the dog aboard, do you? All right, all right.
What's going on back there?
Well, the best I can remember is I was having a quiet drink or two. These fellas come in and we had some social words. Next thing I know, they're jumping all over me.
When I walked in, it looked like the other way around.
Oh, well, they got me riled.
So, yeah, I mean, it's funny. To Edwards, everybody else has a problem, but...
Oh, yeah, not him.
Let's see. Basically, Charles convinces him to come to Walnut Grove, which is, you know, I think everybody knows that. I mean, the name of the episode is Mr. Edwards' Homecoming, even though he's never been here.
Yeah, he's just going to hop in the back of the wagon and head to Walnut Grove.
Yeah, why not? I'll go wherever the wind takes me.
Day here, trip.
And yeah, so he shows up and we're in Walnut Grove. And we get some kind of fun music, and that's always good.
All right.
And I did point this out. I don't know if somebody knows this. And I really would just have to watch the first three episodes closely, or really the pilot, to see if this is the first playing of the Edwards theme.
I think it is, honestly.
It must be, right? That deserves a play, right? I should. I have to play that then. Sorry.
You're talking about the.
I'll play it.
Old Dan Tuck.
Easy now.
It was like its own version of it, but okay. Yeah, Old Dan Tucker.
Yeah. Okay.
Old Dan Tucker was a fine old man.
Yeah. So he got a little bit of that little intro. I feel like that this is the intro to that.
Yeah, like our first, that's it. The first first time. So yeah, he gets there as the first stop. I mean last stop, and we get a kind of a funny little meeting of him and the Widow Snyder, where he spits. It's really a visual thing. He spits and she's like, "Ugh, you're disgusting."
Right. He's disgusting.
We quickly learn that poor little Laura is sick.
Yes.
And you pointed out that you think that it was most likely strep.
Well, see, I think I'd be better than Doc Baker back then. the girl's in bed with a high fever. Mm-hmm. She's got a very sore throat. And her tonsils are inflamed. It can't always be tonsillitis, but more than likely, it's probably strep throat.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what's
odd? It's usually that high fever, you know?
And what's interesting about strep throat is a lot of people, you know, they go to the doctor and the doctor gives them some type of antibiotic. But antibiotics don't work on strep throat. You just have to kind of wait it out.
Kind of wait it out and let it go, and the fever breaks, and then you go from there.
Exactly. And I think most people probably have had strep throat.
Yes.
It's not that big of a deal. And I was wondering what Doc Baker gave her. I mean, what was the medicine, you think?
I really don't know what that could have been. It was probably whiskey.
It could have been whiskey. I'm thinking it could have been some type of cough medicine, but with like codeine or maybe a little morphine.
A little more. He had the morphine. Yeah. You know, always had it on hand. Always got it. The fact that he gave her that little weird black licorice at the end, I thought, you know, that can't help your throat.
Well, here's the thing. You know, licorice is a diuretic, okay? So I'm wondering if the medicine maybe binds you a little bit and the licorice helps you kind of loosen things up.
Oh, that's pretty intuitive.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just kind of... I hate black licorice. It's one of the worst things.
It's the worst thing in the world.
And this is going to be the second time I'm bringing up Charlie Chaplin in this movie. I mean, in this episode. But in the movie The Gold Rush, he...
I saw that.
Oh, you know? Do you know this story then? He ate so much licorice because he had shoes made of licorice.
Yes.
And it's a scene...
And he got bound up, right?
No, the opposite.
Oh, the opposite. Sorry. Yeah. So it was a diuretic.
Yes. And Chaplin was notorious for taking, you know, take after take after take. And if you watch the scene, it's worth it. It's a hilarious scene where he's eating the shoelaces like they're spaghetti. And it's very funny. But yeah, so it's like this famous story where he took so many takes and then he had to like close down the entire set for like 2 weeks. He was just like he took like 30 takes or something. Like he was
I love watching those old Chaplin movies mm-hmm. when they come on PBS. I just think they're fascinating because everything they did was real.
The Gold Rush in particular is a great silent movie to start with because, one, it's hilarious and there's like some very special effects in it, which you don't expect from a movie that was so early. But there's also versions that are tinted. So instead of it being colorized, the entire, like when it's supposed to be cold, the entire tint of the screen turns bluish. And they would do that with different gel cells live. Mm-hmm. But anyway, all right. Instead of being in the early 20th century, let's go back to the end of the 19th century.
Okay.
Back to 1874. So here we are, Ma being Ma, talking to Laura.
Hurts when I swallow.
I know, but Dr. Baker said it'd make you feel better. That's my girl.
You're going to be all right.
Sure she is. Just a flare-up with your old tonsils.
Is Dr. Baker going to operate on me?
He may take them out, but not while you're infected. Not till you're all better.
I don't know which to wish for. Getting better or staying like this.
Let's take things one at a time. First, you feel better.
So Pa's back.
Pa's back.
Yeah, and Mary is... this is the Mary that people just fell in love with. It's like the cute little Mary.
This was the sweet Mary.
This is sweet.
She just helped everybody, and she was sweet, and she was nice, and she didn't impose upon people, and she didn't rule everyone's world.
Yeah, she didn't say things like, stay away from my ma.
Stay away from my ma.
Uncle Chris.
Gerard.
Yeah. Buck.
God.
So Edwards is back, and everybody's going crazy about it.
Mr. Edwards!
Hi, Gary!
Mr. Edwards!
What a wonderful surprise.
I remember Caroline not being so fond of Mr. Edwards.
I know.
But now...
I know. It turned around at Christmas, but this is really, really, really friendly, isn't it?
You see what a sweet potato can do.
I know. Sweet potatoes are amazing.
Yeah, they really do. They're the foundation of relationships.
Right.
Well, me and Bad Penny keep showing up.
How did you two ever happen to run into each other?
Oh, well, I was in Mankato, you see. It's in the middle of a big crowd. And you might say we was having a party. Your husband here.
You might say we're having a party. I love his, like, retelling.
He dragged me off and said I should come out and see the family.
Wonderful.
I had a hard time tearing him away. Hey, what about me? Don't I get a hug or anything?
Oh, Charles, I'm sorry.
Poor Charles.
And I kind of like this little when Edwards picks up Carrie, and I just think stuff like this is funny.
So surprised.
So was I when I found him.
I ain't gonna be able to do this much longer. You don't quit that growing. You quit that growing here. Say, where's
Happy? Like a weird uncle.
You know, I've been the weird uncle, and but you know, it's just crazy because if you look at whichever Linbush, Greenbush, I said Linbush, Greenbush twin that is, they're like just cracking up, and they have their creepy doll though. I don't know if you noticed that there.
Oh, her doll.
Yeah, doll's a little creepy.
The doll's a little creepy. Yeah, dolls in this on these shows are creepy.
Now the doll does kind of remind me of something that was described in the book, so I wonder if that's on purpose.
Kind of like a rag doll.
Yeah. I have to go back. And also, her hair is like blonde and everything. It's just crazy. They're so young.
They're all in California and they're in the sun.
Yeah.
And they swim in pools on the weekends.
It's true, yeah.
It's all
that chlorine,
doing.
Yeah.
it's all bleached out. Everybody on this show is blonde.
Yeah, really. It's
all these kids.
Edward surprises Laura. Laura's really happy. Of course, This is a little bit of a long scene. I'm going to play it because I just think it really does give us kind of a nice foundation to Edwards. Here we go.
What's this I hear about you, half pint? How you feeling?
It hurts when I swallow.
Yeah, sure it does. It'll be all better real soon. Now you wait and see. Brought you a little surprise for Mankato.
What's it?
You look right over there.
Mr. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, I never thought I'd see you again.
Well, I promised, didn't I? How's my sweetheart? She's burning up with fever.
Oh, she...
What are you doing for her?
So, yeah, this is where we get a little bit of a, he's really concerned all of a sudden because...
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is where I plug another podcast of mine. So Dr. Quinn Cast, we, Kelly Milky and I do the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman podcast. And on that show, we've learned that there's this Native American bark that you can make from willow bark, you know,
the willow bark.
Yeah, like it's, and you can still buy this. This is a legitimate medicine. Do you have weeping willows in Ohio?
Yes, we do.
Well, if you just scrape some of that bark off and make a tea from it, it's a painkiller and fever reducer.
Okay.
Legitimately, though, and it's, it just blows me away because I thought, I'm like, that, I don't know, that sounds like hooey to me. So I did the research on it and I wish the Ingalls knew about this, or Doc knew about this.
He could have saved a lot of patients.
He could have, easily. Or at least lowered a few fevers. I mean, Almanzo could have used that when he got pneumonia.
Yes, absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
But no, they don't listen to the natives. Poor guys.
But and the Ingalls were acquainted with the natives.
They wrote songs about Charles, practically. The legendary Charles Ingalls. White man saves world.
All right. Where's the doctor? Why ain't there a doctor here?
The doctor was here. Little ones run fast fevers. They get over them just as quick.
Sure. Wow, you'll be up playing no time at all.
Will you be here?
Well, don't you worry none about that. You just get yourself well.
That's not what I asked you.
Oh, well. I'll tell you what. I'll be here when you get over that fever. That there's promise. Now you just get yourself some rest.
That's nice. You know, it's a family friend, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you made a promise. Made a promise.
We also learned that Laura can spit as far as Edwards, which is really nice.
Which goes back to the very first pilot episode.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. It kind of ties it together.
I agree. It's just little stuff like that. It really does make us think of Laura as kind of a tomboy.
Yes.
And I don't know. I think it's nice.
Yeah.
Edwards is going to stay in the loft. Actually, this is the long clip I'm going to play, and we get a little bit of a backstory on Edwards.
Best medicine for Laura was seeing you. You really perked up. Come on, you bunk up here.
And again, we're getting this crane shot where I know that they've used the crane a lot, but they really back off on it in later episodes. But in these early episodes, they really want to show the set in like their entirety. And we just don't normally get these kind of shots. In this episode, we get so many amazing shots of the house. Of the little house that we normally don't see. Close-ups of the cooling rack. Even the barn, like seeing some of this. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Not the fanciest place in town, but it's the only loft around.
It actually might be the most fancy place in town outside of the Olsen's living room. You know, this.
It's a pretty nice barn.
It's not too bad, and there's fresh hay, I heard.
Yeah, fresh hay.
Just left plenty of privacy. Good fresh hay here.
He's always selling that fresh hay.
Look, you had a long day. Why don't you
By the way, do you hear that noise? It's like...
Yeah, and what is that?
It's just the their audio.
It's just their crappy audio.
Yeah, it's really... I mean, I'll just play it. It's you'll hear it.
Rest up a little bit before supper.
Angles.
It's like a low rumbling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And would it be too much to throw the guy a blanket?
Well, it's Edwards. He's used to sleeping like a hobo.
He's got that shirt.
Right. He's got the shirt.
When I blew up at you in there, I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. You're just worried about Laura.
No, it was more than that.
I'm not worried about Laura at all. Which one's Laura? The pretty blonde one?
What are you to tell you?
You don't owe me anything.
I don't want to tell you. I was married once. Had me a daughter, Alice. A couple of years younger than Laura. They didn't look alike, you know, but... There's something about Laura. Guess that's why I take to her so. Now they're gone now. Both of them. My fault. I brought smallpox to them on a homestake claim so far out in the woods that nobody could hear my distress signals. And we all come down with it.
There's no way you can figure that's your fault.
Well, I shouldn't have taken him so far away. That's why when I saw Laura up there burning up with fever, I just...
Flashback.
One minute, I was right back there.
Yeah, I mean, immediately we learn so much about Edwards and, you know, the kind of turmoil he's gone through.
Yes. Yes. So there's that. And then, yeah. Yeah. And he loves Laura.
Yeah.
Not so much Mary. Not so much Carrie. But, man, does he love Laura.
He's the only other person who calls her half pint, you know?
Yeah.
I don't even think Almanzo does. He's like Beth.
Yeah, Beth. Almanzo. That's correct.
Oh, I know. No, I just keep. I was saying in a review I was doing with somebody the other day that because they said Almanzo, and I just kind of like ribbing people about it.
Yes.
Even Dean Butler though. Says both. You know, he just.
It makes sense though, Manny. If she calls him Manny,
yeah.
Then it's Almanzo. So it makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But here we go. Everybody wants Isaiah to stay. Of course.
Yes.
What's not to love here?
Well, a man can't just up and stay somewhere. He's got to have a place to live and a job.
Well, you got the first. We can get you the second one tomorrow. Hanson can always use another good man at the mill.
Well, I don't want to impose on you folks, you know. I'm not much of a one for settling down to a steady job.
Please, Mr. Edwards. Please stay.
Oh. The David Rose music is cute.
Of course.
And you get Carrie going,
please stay.
It's like, don't talk with food in your mouth, young lady. I'm going to throw up. Please stay.
Please stay.
And, you know, it's just one of those kind of sweet times. And
Mary didn't say a word.
Yeah, she's like, I really don't care.
She's like, whatever, I really don't care. I got stuff to do.
Right. I have books to read and grades. I have good grades. I have tests to ace. We get a fun scene with Charles and Caroline have in the popcorn bedroom right across from Carrie. And you know, they're having their fun little talk. I don't know what book Charles is supposed to be reading.
He's into it.
Yeah, he's really into it. Not sure what
and
it is.
And I don't know what he's reading, honestly.
Yeah, it's like just a beaten up old book.
Yeah.
But Caroline, she's thinking. She's thinking hard.
The Widow Snyder.
Hmm?
The Widow Snyder.
What about her?
Perfect for Mr. Edwards. Be a whole new life for both of them.
Typical woman. Matchmaker, wrong as usual.
Why do you say that?
I couldn't think of two people more different from each other.
Everybody knows opposites attract.
I always wondered why you went for a shy, sophisticated, educated man like myself.
We get this cool shot where they're zoomed in here and it pulls back. We see them from outside like we're stalkers. And
yes.
And she's like, what did you see, Charles? It's like, nothing.
Nothing. And she's still thinking. She's thinking about everything. She's going to plan it out.
Right. She's wrapped up in like, I'm going to set these two up and I'm going to make you eat your words.
Yes.
Edwards, of course, is hired. I mean, look at the guy. I mean, the guy could carry 500 pounds of stuff and do whatever you want. Let's see. We get Edwards. He really does own that song. You know, we get him at the sawmill and he's just singing and working.
Tiger was fine, old man.
Now, I do want to mention one other thing because this has come up time and time again with. I'm just going to refer to him as Michael Landon. When Michael Landon is at the sawmill cutting wood, his fingers are like a couple centimeters from the saw blade because they're using a real saw blade legitimately.
Yes. Now, and he's actually using a stick, isn't he?
Yeah, he's using a push stick. And this is what I use something similar. Mine is a little bit more... mine holds a grip to the wood, but when I use the tool that they're using, which is to me one of the scariest tools in any wood shop, and that's a table saw.
Right.
Where the wood could just kick and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, Edwards is using the push stick, and if you watch Michael Landon in the future, his fingers are just right there, and it's so dangerous.
That's because he's a manly man.
Oh my God. I just can't imagine they allowed... I just can't imagine they allowed the creator, director, writer, you know, all of these things, you know, the most famous guy in the cast to risk losing a finger.
He just had to do it.
I think that's the case. He's like, oh, I don't need that push stick.
I don't need a push stick. I'm manly, manly man.
That's crazy to me.
And watch his face.
I don't even see a saw blade in this particular scene. And if it were me, because I don't see. Yeah, I mean, it's possible this isn't even on.
Right. And
if it were me, I wouldn't want it on. I mean, I'm petrified of these things. When I have to use a table saw, I'm petrified.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that's a scary tool.
Yeah, and it's loud. And
Charles has to just. He has to do his manly thing.
He's like,
he'd probably do it. He'd do it shirtless every time if he could.
Well, this is what he does: is right before he's about to put the wood through, he goes, "Oh wait, 1 minute! I forgot something." He's like, "All right, thank God." He's getting the push stick, and no, what he does, he unbuttons one. So he shows his chest a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Watch fine. This. Watch this, guys.
Watch it now.
It's like, watch it.
What a dummy.
Keep your eyes on me.
And it is on, actually. I do see sawdust kicking back. So.
Okay.
With a wagon wheel, died with a toothache in his heel. You know the way for old Dan Tucker. It's too late to get his supper. Supper's over and dinner's cooking. Old Dan Tucker just stands there looking.
This is good. All right.
So, goes right with the whistle.
And we get this beautiful transition of Laura going, like,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
I see some tonsils.
Right.
That's looking much better. Not so red anymore. Just a pretty pink.
Can I go to school tomorrow?
Well, we'll see.
You know, we do get an interesting view here. I don't know if I've seen this before, but if you Are you watching along? I don't know if you have it on in front of you.
I have it on Amazon. I can pull it up whenever I need to.
Now, to Doc's left, to Doc's left or the screen of the right, you see the back of the fireplace. You actually see the structure of the chimney. Mm-hmm. That is accurate. So, these shots are not in... I bet you these shots are legitimately being shot in the loft, not on a set
that looks like they actually build it.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
Which is kind of cool.
It is.
If her fever stays down, Mrs. Ingalls, she can get up this afternoon.
Are you going to operate on me?
Yes.
Laura. Oh, for a sore throat? Well, no. I think I can guarantee you that I won't. And this is for being such a good girl and taking your medicine.
Thanks.
Like an inch and a half of licorice. But, candy's candy.
Candy's candy. Back then,
Yeah. This is hilarious. I think this is one of the more funny little things that Doc Baker has done on the show.
Patience. If I can get down from here without breaking up the leg.
I'm sorry, Doctor.
Perfectly all right, Mrs. Ingalls. I'll see a doctor.
Now, it looked like he really hit his head.
He probably did it off.
Oh my God.
Really just did it and they worked with it.
So we have a finished basement in my house, right? But the ceilings, you were not meant to have a finished basement in my house, but we did it anyway, right? When I walk, I'm used to it now, but I must have clocked my head at least 6 or 7 times. really hard too, on cast iron pipes, and we have one thing that's kind of holding the whole house up probably. And I was just boom,
And you just hit it.
Yeah.
Every time.
Every single time.
Yeah. I'm like that.
But and I go down there and I'm all of a sudden the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I'm like, all right, learn my lesson.
Well, he's probably thinking this is the worst house I come to. All the routes.
No, this one, I don't know if this is the worst.
Everybody else seems to have really nice furniture and laid out homes.
And walls.
And walls that are finished.
You got them fancy walls. So we have a gift for Laura. I don't know why we're only getting Laura a gift. Maybe because she's feeling better.
She was ill.
You know what? I was in the mercantile store today. Guess what I found?
The mercantile store.
Well, close your eyes. No peeking. Caring about peeking. Here you are.
Verbena.
Now, wasn't lemon verbena, wasn't this kind of expensive?
I believe it was expensive back then.
Now, another...
It was very popular also.
So, this is probably at least 2 ounces. It's kind of...
I don't
good
even
amount.
Know how much that would have been.
It's lemon verbena. It's not just toilet water. It's a specialized perfume.
Right. And it was very popular with women.
And whatever happens to this lemon verbena? Because in future episodes, she has to borrow Ma's.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, she used some of that in another episode, I remember. She's a little too much in a later episode to impress a boy. And he told her she smelled bad.
Now, here's another little fun fact is I was searching everywhere for lemon verbena seeds because I wanted to grow lemon verbena. Flowers. Uh-huh. I think it's flowers. It might just be an herb.
It's an herb.
You cannot find these things anywhere.
Okay.
And even the plants are very difficult to find.
We actually have a nursery here in Ohio that does have lemon verbena, the herb that you can buy as a small plant in the spring. Already started. You could stick it in your garden.
But I wonder why I can't find seeds.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm just not looking at the time.
I don't know where the seeds come from.
You would think burpees would have some.
You would.
Burpees.
Burpee seeds.
Yeah, burpee seeds. But yes.
You could. But yeah, I will check on my local nursery and let you know.
Yeah, let me know, please. And if somebody's.
They are an awesome nursery that they have everything.
If somebody's listening and they know where I could find seeds, I would appreciate it.
Seeds of lemon verbena so you can put it on so you can impress everybody.
Well, yeah,
town.
Yeah, the whole town, they're all travel just to see my my lemon verbena garden on Long Island.
Right.
I've changed the world with my lemon verbena garden.
That'd be awesome.
It's my favorite. How do you know?
Well, little Beetle told me.
You know Miss Beetle?
Met her today. She asked about you.
I don't think we see Miss Beetle in this episode, do we?
No, we have not.
But we have a reference.
Yeah.
Now I can smell just like her.
Oh.
Oh.
You gonna go away again?
Then he goes away and he's like, don't worry about that. Just shut up, kid. Stop asking me questions every 15 minutes about me leaving.
I bought this because I have something to ask you.
Yeah, exactly. So we get our classic Laura voiceover.
Yeah.
It was wonderful to have Mr. Edwards back with us again. He said it seemed like old times. Different house, different part of the country, but the same loving family.
And we also get a great shot, and I was like, oh, I'm so finally happy to get this shot of the mantle, because I'm working on a project that needs a very good shot of the mantle. And believe it or not, they are impossible to come by. Everybody visits this mantle. Nobody takes photographs of it correctly. They don't take close-up shots. They don't take...
Of this particular mantle?
Yeah, they're on the on an angle. Because the real mantle is on display in one of the museums. I forget which
yes.
one. I think it's the Laura Ingalls Wilder Museum, probably. And... Yeah, they acquired the mantle from the TV show, which is great. And I'm always, I started questioning, like about a year ago, where I started, like, kind of like Edward's shirt, I'm going to, like, pay a lot of attention to. I was paying attention to the actual knotting in the mantle to make sure they didn't swap it out at some time. But
yeah.
I have three little things that have not changed from season, you know, 1 to 9. So it looks as though... It's legitimately the same piece of wood. Not very important to too many people. To me.
No, but that's cool.
Very important.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you're doing a project.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, sure. It's fine. But yeah, I mean, it's just kind of interesting. We also get a shot of Ma's...
China.
Yeah. What is that thing called? The...
Her little China doll.
Yeah, the China doll. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a little shepherdess or
yeah, that's exactly what it's called. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Pa's like a little tobacco bag and all that kind of good stuff.
His little tobacco bag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His little weed bag, yeah.
Sometimes they put a little watch up there, doesn't
it? Yeah, well, you know, only when he wants it to get lifted.
Right.
Who is exactly. in here? Who is in my house?
I'll put my watch up there.
Charles is always thinking about people stealing stuff.
Yeah.
Not a very trusting guy. All right. So Caroline decides to put the wheels in motion in terms of putting together Edwards and the widow, Snyder.
Snyder.
Oh, my time is a little off here, but I'm just going to let it play through.
Oh, Mr. Edwards. Since you're working across from the post office, I wanted to ask you, would you mind stopping by and asking for our mail around closing time?
Well, I'll be glad to.
But that's our job.
We always do that. Shush now.
I love that. Just shut up. And it's like, yeah, it's just kind of hilarious. We get this like hilarious little shot of as she's asking Edwards to do this, Charles is just looking at her like smiling, just like, you sly dog.
Sometimes the freight wagon.
Slick lady.
Yeah, it's like, that's why I married her.
...are late. Or it comes in after the girls have started home. And
Mary's like, what? What are you talking about?
Carrie's like, whatever.
And Carrie's like, I just want to eat oatmeal. But we find out they barely get any mail. This is clearly just for her, you know, for him to go and...
How often do they get mail, right?
Yeah. Now, this is another time I need to bring up Dr. Quincast, because we have a mail, like a telegraph office there. And they take it so... Yeah, Horace. And they take it so seriously. He's like, I have an oath. And I think that Grace also has the same oath, because she's... really suspicious of this, like, kind of, scrappy looking guy.
Yeah.
Afternoon, ma'am.
Oh.
He just yelled, afternoon, ma'am.
May I help you?
Oh, my name's Edwards. I'm staying out at the Ingalls place. Miss Ingalls asked me if I'd come in and pick up her mail for her.
Well, their daughters usually do that. Are they ill?
Oh, no, ma'am. No, no. She just thought something might come in after they'd gone home from school, you see. I just work right across the way. It ain't no trouble at all.
Well, are you a member of the family?
No, ma'am. Just no friend.
Well, there isn't anything for them today. But you'd have to get an authorization signed by Mr. Ingalls before I could accede to your request.
She loved that. She's like, and by the way... You clearly do not qualify to be somebody who can collect mail for the Ingalls. And he's like, why are you talking to me like this?
Well, that ain't my request, Miss Ingalls.
Oh, my God.
Well, it'll be nice talking
to you. Stamp away, Grace.
Yeah.
But she can't take her eyes off of him.
It's just one of these things. But yeah, she can't keep her eyes off of him.
Can't stop.
Yeah, he can't. You know, the best part of looking at Edwards is when he's walking away. And but she sees.
It's that shirt. It's the shirt.
I don't know. I think it's the way he fills out those denim jeans.
Those trousers.
Those trousers. What a funny word. Now, earlier, Edwards had seen a jug floating in the water near the mill.
Got very excited.
And he grabbed it and he's like, ah, it's empty, you know. But he uses it as a water jug now. But it looks like an alcohol jug. And when I was a kid, I always thought this is how people drink alcohol.
Right.
It was, you know, I think even in cartoons, you would have this jug with a bunch of X's
that was
on
the jug.
It, right?
I bought these. I bought three of these.
Oh, really?
Sale. Not too long ago. It was
do they
like
have X's
$20?
On them? Do they have X's? Or
they did not have X's. They were just these exactly like this with the tan on the top. Mm-hmm. And I bought them for like $20 for three of them.
That's awesome. I think that's a great deal.
Yeah. And I just thought they were cool.
Yeah.
And I gave one to my sister and I kept a couple, but
I bet you they're worth a lot
know.
More.
I had no reason to buy them.
Oh, please. Of
I just
you
said,
did.
Look at these.
Yeah,
I need
to.
These.
And do you have a cork for them and stuff?
No, I don't.
You can easily find one, though.
Easily find a cork for them. But no, I just figured there were spiders in them.
Of course there
washed,
are spiders.
I washed the one out for my sister and made her a Christmas present out of it.
You fill it with bleach or something.
No, I actually... I rinsed it out in hot water and I put a, she was a big Bonanza fan. So I put like a picture of Haas on the side of it.
That's actually a really cool gift. Now I hope it never breaks, but I'm kind of curious what's on the inside. Is it glazed?
I think it's just clay and it's not glazed on the inside. Mm. It's just glazed on the outside.
Mm. And it would also, I would imagine that the glaze, might even have a lead base to it. So you might want to be careful. But
so
yeah,
hopefully
I mean,
nobody drinks out of it.
But if it is clay, I would imagine, I don't know, you know, clay is very porous, so.
Yes. Hmm. So who knows? I don't think anyone's going to drink out of this thing. I think it's just like a decorative thing, but.
Yeah, only Edwards would do this.
It was a nice find.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
But if you, so Edwards picks it up, he's using it as his water jug, right? And
right.
Grace sees him drinking out of it, and he's just like, what the? And this isn't the first time, I think. When he first finds it, she sees him across the way drinking from it.
Yeah.
Nobody else seems to care much that he's drinking like that. Grace finally goes, I have to figure out what's up with this jug. So she walks over to the jug and tastes it and realizes it's just water.
Like a cup, ma'am?
Oh, Mr. Edwards, well, I'm afraid I owe you an apology.
Oh, well, if you figured I was a drinking man, you'd be right more often than not.
Well, it's really none of my business.
I'll go along with that.
That was a pretty funny little jab at her. I'll go along with that.
Go along with that.
But I can also see why, being a postmistress, you wouldn't want to hand out the Ingalls mail to a drunkard.
The postmistress. The postmistress. I don't know if that's exactly the her title, but
yes, postmistress.
Well, then you do accept my apology.
Oh, sure do. Let's have a drink on it.
Oh.
And I love this. She you know what? I mean, and we do learn that Grace kind of has a more fun side to her in the future. And but Lars comes out and she sees her drinking from the jug. And he's like, oh, my God. You know, he's like his mouth is like gaping open. He cannot believe what he's seeing.
She's a drinker.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to play that. I think it's kind of a funny little response.
Mrs. Snyder.
Oh, Mr. Hansen. Well, I guess I'd better be getting back to work.
Uh-huh. I never knew her to drink.
Oh, well, it's always them quiet ones.
Oh, it's always them quiet ones.
It's always them quiet ones.
You know, I'm noticing this as the episode is going on, the volume is getting lower and lower, and the noise background is getting louder, and it's not my equipment.
Oh, that's weird.
What's going on with you, Little House?
It's little so House. Strange. They had no money for sound.
Oh, they had money.
It was all on visuals of Charles.
I mean, it is 47 years old. So, and it's kind of amazing how good it looks, but still. But we get the money shot next.
we do.
We get Charles just basically saying, you know what? You know what's a good look for me?
My thing is, why? What is the purpose of this?
He's got the pants and the tweed pants with the suspenders and no
he's
shirt.
He's styling something, so he's so hot he has to have a shirt off, but then there's Edwards in two layers.
Now, Karen Grassley, and I'm calling her Karen Grassley because we're four episodes in, right?
Right.
And she's giving him a look like, hey, you know, he's not so bad.
Yeah, this is all right. Stand here.
Exactly, and I get paid for this.
Yeah.
So,
but look, there's Edwards with his long johns and his flannel.
Yeah, looking just as
and
good.
And there's Charles going, I'm just too hot to file this.
Right.
I can't.
With his crazy hair and everything. Yeah, I mean.
I'm hot.
That's Charles.
I'm really hot.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Everybody else is like, you know, wearing like six layers. And he's like, I'm too hot. I have to take a shirt off.
I'm just too hot. I'm too hot.
Right. Now, oddly enough, we get a really interesting sermon about the evils of drinking. Like, what? When did this happen? Like, I don't think Walnut Grove needs this sermon. They don't have
they don't even have a bar.
Right. They don't. They're a dry town. As far as I can tell.
Unless Lars said something to Reverend Alden.
But then again, we do get a future episode. Maybe. That's possible. But we do get Edward still in the future, where he's making his moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
His patented hooch.
Hooch. His hooch.
But here we are in the fiery sermon. Whoa, see, now it's loud.
Oh, my God.
And what excuses we invent for ourselves so that we may take that drink. The pressures of life. A disappointment, perhaps. Or a sorrow where the pain may be temporarily lessened by whiskey.
Maybe an overworked postal office.
But temporarily. That's the key word. For only in the inner peace of the Lord will we find lasting happiness.
So it's kind of funny. We have Lars just kind of turns to Grace and it's kind of like, are you listening type of look.
I'm really concerned for you.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he is. I mean, it's really kind of interesting. He's also wearing a hat that I don't know if he normally wears these hats. I thought he wore derbies. He's wearing kind of a ranger hat.
Yeah. It looks like he's a forest ranger. Yeah, I agree.
In the Boy Scouts that I'm involved with, this is, it's called a campaign hat, and it used to be part of the Boy Scout uniform, but, Yeah, I mean, this is looks legitimately not like what he normally wears. I'm pretty sure he normally wears a derby. Like a clean version of what Edwards wears.
Oh, this but, just must have been a different time. It was early. It was early.
It's Hanson serious.
I don't know. It was a serious face.
Yeah.
He's it concerned.
Is. It's his intervention hat. But yeah, and he kind of does a little bit of an intervention. Not really, but he kind of hints at an intervention.
A fine sermon, wasn't it, on the evils of drink?
Well, I thought it went on a bit long.
Well, I have known many a poor soul to take the wrong road.
Yes, it's a common weakness with some men.
Oh, yeah, and women, too.
And women too.
And women too. And he just looks away like she's not
women
listening.
Women too.
Like she's not listening to a word I'm saying. He storms off.
God, that's funny.
Edwards tricks Laura into writing a letter to himself because we do learn later that Edwards is illiterate. He cannot write or read. And, you know, that's something that does not get rectified until, what, season 6 or 7?
Yeah, much later. Much later.
John Jr.
That looks so calm and lovely.
What?
Sitting there by that stream.
Oh, yeah.
When they're writing. She's so cute.
Wait,
you know,
I'm getting to it.
She was such a cute little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was.
She also decides to put some lemon verbena on the letter.
Yep.
Yeah. This is all because Mary planted the idea to make her Grace jealous because it worked with somebody in the class. Do you remember her name? It's brought up twice. I forgot her name.
Oh my gosh.
Bunny? No, not Bunny. Name. Bunny. That's the horse.
Somebody. Yes. I don't remember her name. But yeah, somebody in the class made somebody else jealous, and so it gave him a great idea. So he used Laura.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Edwards goes to mail the letter and he kind of meets the mail guys. I'm going to play this just because I think it's funny. And I like these two guys. Like we've never seen them before. I think one of the guy on the right, we do get to see in a number of different Little House episodes.
In many episodes. I just,
Not the guy on the left.
Many
though.
Times.
I've never
no,
seen
No, the guy on the right, definitely.
Yeah.
Mail
with the staff.
Yep.
Got this little letter I want you to mail for me when you get to Mankato. Got a penny here for the stamp.
Says it's going to Walnut Grove.
That's right.
Mister, you're in Walnut Grove.
I know that.
If you know that, why you want to waste all that time and money sending this here letter clear into Mankato so it'll wind up not 2 miles from where you're standing.
That's my business. My penny.
You sure you know what you're doing?
Of course I know what I'm doing. This here's United States Mail Service, ain't it?
Of course it is.
Well, then it's your job to deliver the mail, so just go on, deliver it.
Mail's funny.
Lemon verbena. Well, are you going to mail that thing? You're just going to sit there and look dumb.
And they're like, oh, my God. Now, 1 penny adjusted for inflation is 25 cents.
Wow.
To mail a letter now is, I believe, 50 cents.
That's a lot. Yeah.
But I do agree that it can be a lot. But 50 cents to mail a letter anywhere in the continental U.S. is not so bad.
No, it's not so bad. It's just when you think about what stamps were and how they have gone up. You don't really think about it when you mail a letter. You just stick the stamp on it and go.
But I will say, at least it's only double the price adjusted for inflation.
That's true.
It's not like That's four true. Times.
But he has a plan, and he's going to do this plan because he knows it's going to work.
Well, you know, it's not the worst plan I've ever heard.
It's kind of an I Love Lucy plan.
Edwards gets paid. and then he heads over to Grace to see if he, well, to check on the Ingalls mail, I believe.
Right.
Oh, is there any mail for the Ingalls?
No, there isn't. But I think there is one here for you, yes.
Ooh. Wow, much obliged.
He smells it right away, which is kind of funny. Like, how do you know it smells good, you know? And he opens it up and it's just blank paper and he's like just making funny faces and she's like
pretending to read.
Like, what's this all about? It would have been funny if it was like pictures that Laura drew or something.
So did Laura write on the envelope or did he copy what she wrote somewhere else? That's my question.
Oh, that's a good question.
Would it look like a child wrote the envelope?
Well, did you look at the envelope? Because it does, it looks like block letters. Let's see. There is a shot. I might have even.
There's a shot, and I'm looking, and I can't tell if it's like kids' writing or.
There it is at 3201. I don't know if yours is.
Copied it.
I don't know if yours is exactly synced. Yeah, it's hard to say. But, you know, oddly enough.
I'm just curious.
Wait, I just have to let this play for a second. Oh, no. Okay. I thought there were two stamps on it. There are not two stamps.
There's one. And a postmark.
Yeah. I don't know who that top stamp is of. It looks like Alfred Hitchcock, but the bottom one is clearly George Washington.
Yeah.
And, you know, they went as far as the stamp actually says Walnut Grove.
That's pretty good.
Boy, why would it be stamped Walnut Grove?
Yeah. Wait.
Right?
Because it was going to... Yeah.
Yeah, 3202. I took a screenshot, of course, because I have to prove these things. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting because it would be going to Walnut Grove, right?
Yeah.
Wait.
Unless, I mean, no, that wouldn't
You'd
be the outcome.
Stamp it when you're...
Well, I mean, if she's accepting the mail, right, she would stamp it and then it would be sent. But this one, but I can't see exactly what the bottom one says, the George Washington stamp.
Fact There's checks. One at 3153, and it looks like it could be kids' writing, but it's pretty neat for Laura. She's pretty young. I don't know. I was just wondering if maybe she wrote something, and then he tried to copy it.
Maybe. And it just says M-I-N-N for Minnesota, because I'm going to guess he's like, oh, I can't spell Minnesota.
Right.
No American can.
Again, right?
Don't feel so bad, Edwards.
That's too long.
Right, I could spell Mississippi all day long, but Minnesota, I'll leave that.
They
one
just
there.
Put. I think they put M-I-N-N.
Yeah, just M-I-N-N.
Yeah.
So here we are talking to Grace a little bit about just everything. And it seems like it kind of worked with Grace a little bit.
I got to get back, see, for supper. Mr. Engel says he's going to catch his whole mess pike.
Oh, I envy you. I haven't had pike for ages.
Caroline Ingalls heard you say that. Why, she'd be inviting you to dinner for the words is out of your mouth.
Unfortunately, she isn't here.
Well, you know what's going to happen when I get back home and tell her I run into you. Well, you're going to bawl me out right in front of the whole family for not asking you myself. You're going to say, Mr. Edwards? Well, you know how long we've been trying to get Mrs. Snyder to come to eat with us. Now, you don't have the good manners to ask her when you find out she likes pike.
So, of course, he's like, well, you gotta come.
Like, the pike, though. Aren't pike gigantic fish?
Yeah, but it's Charles Ingalls.
I'm just saying, somebody caught a mess of pike.
Mess, yeah.
Aren't they just huge?
How
fish?
Many are in a mess? Five? How much is a mess?
When they're catching fish, they're like these little trout, and then they go home, and we're like, we're going to have a feast because we have like six trout. And
right.
I'm thinking, pike, when I looked it up, I'm like, pike are giant fish.
It's even funnier.
How many pike do they have?
A school. I don't know.
Okay, school of pike. Okay, well, she's really going to have a feast. So
we get a great shot of the cooling shelves that I mentioned before, and Ma's just kind of going on because she doesn't know if her plan is working.
Just set on being a lonely widower. He doesn't appeal to her.
Yeah.
I never really thought of Isaiah as a widower, but he is.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's strange. We, of course, know that Grace is the widow Snyder.
Widow Snyder.
She even referred to her as Widow Snyder later.
Right.
To Widow Snyder. It's like, don't call
me Widow.
That's
Widow Snyder.
Don't remind me.
That's her
me.
Name now.
Yeah. Widow.
Can't go back.
Strange.
way, it's kind of a shame. I had a feeling he kind of took to her a little bit.
No, it's why I feel so bad.
Well, don't feel bad. What's meant to be is meant to be.
Hello in the house!
And they look up, and he's pulling up with the widow. Snyder, that is.
Here she comes.
She didn't even bring anything. Bring some ambrosia, something.
She brought nothing. No, she said, I'm here for that big old pike.
I'm here for some of your pike.
I heard you got a whole bunch of pike.
And we get this shot of them dancing outside, which reminds me so much of the books. But it looks really great. I really love this scene. You have Pa on a stump playing his music, and just it's crazy.
And why are the girls up there? I guess they're not invited. This is more of an adult thing.
I think bedtime is bedtime, you know?
Well, like they're all out there together, and it's a big old family thing, but I guess this is like a introducing Grace to Mr. Edwards kind of thing.
Yeah,
it
could be, yeah. It's a double date.
It's a double date, yeah.
Edwards is basically courting Grace at this point. So I'll play some of that. He walks her home. Well, no, he rides home with her, and then he's going to walk back.
Walking all the way back to the Ingalls.
Ma'am, it ain't none at all.
And thank you for doing the stabling for me.
My pleasure.
After all that dancing, I'm not sure I'd have been up to it.
Well, you're talking like you're an old lady. It'd have been in the prime of your life.
Oh, listening to you, I almost believe it.
Well, I wouldn't lie to you.
Wouldn't you, Mr. Edwards?
Oh, ma'am. Only lie about poker hands and the size of fish it got away. That's why you can believe me when I tell you how grateful I am to the Ingalls for swaying me to come to Walnut Grove.
Oh, I am too.
So he's a lot more smooth than he becomes later. A lot more conversational. But let's see. Laura outs him kind of accidentally. She doesn't seem to mind, though. She's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Lying's fine. let's see. Edwards is at Grace's house, I guess. And they're just kind of talking about stuff and drinking coffee.
Oh, no, ma'am, no. I'll just finish up what I have here, and then I'll be on my way. Wouldn't do to have a custodian of the United States mail falling asleep on a job.
You have an oath.
Say, how'd you like to go fishing again?
Yes, I would.
How about Sunday morning?
After church?
Well, I thought before. You know, the fish always bite better early.
But Sunday's the Lord's Day.
Oh, well, whatever you say, ma'am. How about I meet you afterward?
Well, I thought maybe we could go together.
Me? Oh, no, ma'am, not me.
Why not?
I don't believe in it.
Well, you do believe in God.
Well, I did once, not anymore.
That's another thing I pointed out in my notes, that when they're all praying at the Ingalls' house, he's just not praying. He's angry with God. You know, he has his own personal reasons, even, to just not have a belief in this. And I think that's, you know, this whole episode is really about maybe losing and finding faith, I guess. It's a pretty simple story. The story is not that complicated for this particular episode, right?
Right. It's not that complicated.
It's not that much going on, but it is kind of monumental because we do get this relationship that just starts here. I think that most people would have forgotten how early this relationship began. I know I did.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
This is episode 4.
Right, right. And this is season 1.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But Grace does not like...
You have to have a little bit of a background of Mr. Edwards, you know?
Yeah.
And they kind of gave it to you in one episode. It was kind of cool.
But Grace is not happy at all about his idea of not going to church and just being a God-fearing Christian.
You're right.
You can't mean that. Surely you can't.
Well, yes, ma'am, I do.
He's almost looking around like, why is there music playing?
What?
What did I say, David Rose?
I promise I'll wash my shirt tomorrow.
Right, in the creek.
How about it, ma'am?
How about what?
Fishing Sunday.
No, I'm afraid I can't.
Oh, Grace.
Well, guess I'd best be on my way.
Can I get a to-go cup? You know, he's drinking
to-go cup, please.
But yeah, I mean, this could be very heartbreaking for people who you know, where their faith is such a tremendous part of their everyday existence. And,
right.
You know, they finally meet somebody and they don't see eye to eye with them.
Yeah.
I guess it could be a deal breaker for many people. Is
what I'm saying. Yeah, would be a deal breaker.
Now, the next day in town, we get, I don't know, Grace is kind of cold to Caroline, I think. And this is where she's like, Widow Snyder.
Yeah.
So strange.
Still calling her Widow Snyder.
Widower Edwards.
Widower Edwards.
It's a hard thing to say, right? Widower Edwards. Oh, my God. Say it three times fast. I challenge. Yeah.
Oh, Widow Snyder. I'm so glad to see you. I just stopped by the post office.
There's nothing for you today.
Well, I really just stopped by to tell you how much we enjoyed having you over the other night.
Your pike sucks.
Your pike is too big.
It was a bit dry, but thank you anyway.
Enjoyed it too.
We'd like to have you out again. I could.
Okay, I'll bring ketchup next time.
And something for that wall.
Oh, maybe just
maybe anything. Some curtains.
Maybe anything. A pigskin. Anything.
Anything of color.
Right.
But I thought. I'm sorry.
And it's like, oh boy. Oh boy.
There we go.
Everything's hidden in the wall.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. Caroline's concerned about Edwards and is like, I have to go talk to him. Charles is like, if he wanted to talk, he would have talked, Caroline.
I'm smoking my pipe. Leave me alone.
Right. Doing
smoke. Puff, 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 puff.
Right. The girls are out. You know, the girls are finally asleep. I have my bong out. You know, he's just doing
really
his own
go
thing.
Go talk to him. Yeah. All right.
So yeah, right. I don't want to climb the loft. Right. But
what is that thing? What is that thing right above their mantle? Is that? Oh, that's not a washboard, is it?
Oh wait, let me go back.
There's a little washboard, or is it something that she uses to cook with? It looks like a washboard.
That's a good question. I don't know
right
if I've ever seen
that. Right above his head when he's smoking his pipe.
I mean, it looks
like a washboard.
You know, at first I was going to say maybe it's like something to put hot pans on, but no, they would use something like wrought iron.
It looks like something it's either a washboard or it's something like she grated stuff on it.
You know, I'm taking a screenshot and I'm going to ask people.
I know. I'm just curious. It's like 4305.
Yeah. The whole time they're talking, it's like bends.
Yeah. It's right up there. And I never noticed it in any other episode.
Yeah, me either. And you notice how clean the mantle is?
It's very clean for as many fires as they've had.
You compare that to season not 9, because I think they cleaned it for the Carters. But season 8, it's very covered. Oh, I like the Carters.
Of course they cleaned it for the Carters.
Well, the Carters are perfect.
Oh, yeah. Another time.
Caroline sneaks up to Edward's loft, which I thought was a little bit weird. I think what she's doing is nice, but it just...
It was a little intimate.
Right, like if it was daytime, but this is,
Like, usually, you would think Charles would go with her to go talk to him.
But, it's
in this time of the world.
If this was Uncle Chris, Charles would be right down going, you're right up there, like, Caroline. Right there. You're right up there. For all we know, Charles is outside with a shotgun or something. But yeah,
look at her arm. Oh,
she goes up and Edwards is packing, unfortunately.
I'm a sloppy packer.
I'm a sloppy packer. Yeah, I didn't think you'd be somebody who would take any pride in packing.
Well, I guess most men are.
You're leaving us.
Yes, ma'am. In the morning.
I hoped you'd be happy here.
Oh, have been, man, have been. You know, being here with you folks is... Then there's Walnut Grove, you know, no saloon. Town ain't no town at all without a saloon.
It's kind of true. I mean,
yeah, it's kind of true.
Yeah.
I'm not
you need at least one.
Yeah. Within walking distance, at least.
Or a liquor store.
Or any, yeah. Is to go into the mercantile and buy cough medicine.
In one place very long, you know. It's like to be on the move.
I saw Grace today.
This is another long clip. It's kind of dragged out a little.
Yeah.
But we do get more backstory. So yes. I think it's worth it.
I really took to that woman. Don't mind admitting it. Well, we just put store in different things is all. I mean, couldn't live her kind of life. Feel like a hypocrite.
I don't understand what you mean.
Well, she's a God-fearing person. I'm not. It's just simple as that. Well, I ain't saying there ain't no God. It's just I'm saying he ain't never had no time for me, so I ain't got no time for him.
Did he have green suspenders on the whole episode? Because now I'm looking at them. I don't think they were green before.
I think they were green. I think that we just saw them in different light.
Possible. I don't know.
Do you believe me?
Ma'am, I believe me. That's not enough for the Widow Snyder.
Is it enough for you?
You tell me something, ma'am. You tell me why God let my wife and daughter die.
Crickets.
Yeah, they're out and about.
Ugh. I'll be gone by the time you get back from church tomorrow. 8 goodbyes. So it's better all the way around if I'm just gone.
Mr. Edwards, do you know what you're doing? You're punishing God. And if you go on punishing him for what happened in the past, you aren't going to have any room for the future.
How deep, Carolyn.
I'd be so sorry if you did that.
Well, this is, you know, this is that trend of the early days of Little House on the Prairie where it was, I'm not going to say it was a religious show really ever, but they definitely had this mission about talking about religion a lot and
right underlying God theme,
like God fearing people and
right
aligning right. morality with being a Christian. And I think that it just quietly goes away over the course of season two and three.
It does. And it was just like at the time that was what America kind of was, you know,
but it also, I think, was something that Michael Landon really wanted to present as a Jewish young man, which is always hilarious.
I know, which is
really, but I believe he was a Christian.
A Jewish young man, he wanted to present the Christian side of things.
But I think he was a Christian. I'm pretty sure that Michael Landon was a Christian. So, I mean, Jewish by, you know, birthright and everything.
Right.
But his faith was definitely aligned, I believe, in Christianity, which is fine. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like,
yeah.
David Rose was also Jewish. You know, there's Jews everywhere in Little House.
No, yeah, pick one. Yeah. I'm kidding.
Well, I guess if you were to think, if pick one, I guess in Christianity you are kind of, because, you know, it does embody the entire story of, you know, the Old Testament is Judaism, and the sequel is like the whole Christian part.
Right.
You know, the whole
I grew up Catholic, so I'm just like all over the place.
Yeah, the Catholicism is
it's another whole thing.
Hey, it's a lot of fun.
We're not anymore, but it was a whole thing. So yeah,
I have a lot of respect for Catholicism and Christianity, mostly because of the art and the actual cathedrals, and you know the architecture behind these places are just, you know, they're breathtaking,
amazing. right?
So I do have a lot of respect for that. But yeah, I mean, it's, people kind of forget though, God is just God. I mean, depending on whatever your faith is, but you know, when it comes to Jews and Christians or Catholics, or it's all the same God. They're all writing about the same God.
Exactly.
Just whether or not the son was born. Son, you know what? The next generation's always messing with everything.
I mean, quit screwing around. By the way, right. These suspenders are green, and so are Charles's in the earlier scenes.
I don't know what's going on here.
I'm just telling you.
But here we go.
I've noticed.
So Caroline goes on with her her guilt. Like, you're punishing God. Like, that wouldn't work with me personally.
Right, exactly.
Like, he wants to punish God. Like, he's mad.
That's his goal, because he's mad. Exactly. Yeah. He's angry.
Hear that?
It's crazy. Look at that face. And I hear that.
Yeah.
Hi.
Almost sound like she said a pie.
Reverend Alden comes in. What pie?
Did somebody say pie?
A pie? Did you say pie? I have a pie. I want a pie.
Now, I'm going to play this. I think this is really just a kind of eerie thing, because he's going through a lot of conflict. Yeah, this character is broken, and he's broken again. Like, you know, it's just crazy. But he says this, he mutters it to himself, and I don't know. I found it very not irritating. Found it very eerie.
Yes.
Old man took it with fire, an old man. Washed his face in a frying pan. Combed his hair with a wagon wheel. Died with a toothache in his heel.
Like, he's old Dan Tucker.
It's like his mantra. It's a very odd scene. We get bringing in the sheaves, right? I mean, what can that not do? It's always bringing down the house.
That's what happens every Sunday.
And I love this. We get a shot of the church. The church is pretty clean. No bell, of course. Tinker Bell has not made the bell.
Not yet.
Not yet. He's thinking about it. He's sketching it out.
We haven't met him yet. He's somewhere living there. Nobody knows who he is.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, everybody's bringing in the sheaves.
I'm rejoicing, right. Bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the morning. Sowing seeds of kindness. Sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve.
So Edwards walks in. I'll lower it.
Waiting for
he walks
not wearing
in.
His flannel shirt.
I don't know where he got this jacket from.
He went into Charles's wardrobe.
Maybe. But he looks nice. He did, you know.
Yeah.
He comes in and the widow Snyder's like, oh my God. And Caroline looks over and Charles is smiling and everyone's so happy. And even Isaiah looks happy.
Singing off everybody else.
Yeah. And he's singing along, and he's just a part of the community. And that's, we fall in love with him immediately.
He's trying.
Yeah, he does not
look. He's doing his best.
I do not think he looks 40.
No, he does not look 40.
Wow. I mean.
And that woman in the front.
Yeah, so this woman in the front,
she's. This woman.
Now, if you watch it, it's a little bit creepy because. I'm going back because we do get the other shot. No, we don't get it.
It's just her head's hanging down like that.
Right, but we never see her face, and it's kind of the phantom.
I think it's his ex. Not his ex. His ghost.
Maybe it's his ghost wife.
Wife. Yeah. That's very crazy. Hitchcock.
Yeah. I'll post a screenshot of that, but everyone else, their bonnets are not covering their face like this.
No, look at her.
And she's like, once you see it, hiding. You can't like look away from it.
Yeah.
It's kind of eerie.
Yeah.
It's a little bit eerie.
It is eerie. Cool.
she was, you know, she came for the more booze talk, and she, all they're doing is singing the sheaves.
I'm glad Mr. Edwards joined the community.
You know, by the way, it's a full house in the church. There's not a seat not taken. And no one is standing. It's perfect.
Right.
That's
pretty good.
Well, Lori, I want to thank you so much for doing this episode. This was a lot of fun. It's one of these early ones.
Yeah.
This is a part of... I just made a list yesterday of all the episodes that have not been done and ones that I want to do again. And I cannot believe how many episodes have not been done.
Yeah.
As of right now.
You've done a lot.
Yeah, I've done a lot. But there are over 60 episodes that have not been reviewed. And there's about another dozen and a half that I want to redo. So there's a lot of Walnut Grove cast coming to everyone.
That's awesome.
It's not slowing down. But, I mean, I just released episode 157.
Whoa.
I just don't know what those episodes are.
We'll find them.
157.
They're
there. It's like 100, all there. At least an hour each. You know, it's 157 hours of, I mean, I guess roughly, how many episodes are there total? Let me see.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it's 200 and, I used to have the number. IMDb changed everything. 204 episodes, not counting the movies.
Wow.
Maybe that's right on, you know, maybe.
That's a lot.
It's about right. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So it doesn't seem to be an end in sight for Walnut Grove cast, which is good for people who enjoy the show.
Yeah.
But
exactly. This was really fun.
Yeah, I'm really glad you came on, and I look forward to picking another one out with you in the future.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast.